Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come to hear of you and to feed on you. And Lord, may this anointing that is you just pour forth. Pour from us that it would just anoint you, Lord God. Lord, we're so thankful, Jesus, that we have a gaze that's only on that mercy seat. Only on the beautiful blood of the Lamb. The power is in the blood. The healing is in the blood. Oh God, all the glory to the Lamb is in the blood. And Jesus, we come in here and we're so thankful. And God, how you've sprinkled it all over us, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. To be in the courts of the Lord, to be in the throne room of grace. Oh, what a wonder, Lord. But isn't that who you are? Just wonderful. We thank you for this, again, this gathering that you have called us to. Lord, you saw this in ages past, that we would come here in such joy and thanksgiving to praise the great God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. Oh, my. Yep, I was so thankful that song that was sang, I think, last week. Living like I'm already there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I'm glad that you had your Bibles marked for Wednesday night in Philippians, so just turn right back there. We've been drawn into this third chapter, haven't we? Isn't that wonderful how he just draws us? And grateful to God for this grace that just pours in more splendor and more might to those that will receive it. But reading from the 7th verse of the 3rd chapter, Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency, the superior rank of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." See, it was a privilege, it was an honor. God did him a favor. Oh yes, he did. He wanted him to win. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead," that out resurrection, that ex anastasis, that resurrection out from the resurrection. Read Wednesday, go back and listen to Wednesday night. I believe it'll be a thrill to you. And Brother Paul says here, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ." I believe that's a bridal calling, wouldn't you say? Brethren, that's to us. Wake up now. "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And I love how that translates. "I run for the most excellent goal, for the glory of the highest embrace of God with Christ Jesus." Never forget it. That's what this is about. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. We know something. And you know what we know? Those that are willing, he's getting ready. He's getting them ready for a meeting in the air. He's getting them ready to go. We're reading here of the horses Yes, Philippians, the horses. And I love that. You study that name out, manifold in meaning. But those horses are not just any horses. It's the love of horses. It's the love of the runner. But then it also means to war. So if you really think of it too, it's a war horse. Because we're in a war. Amen. It's a battle. But I'm so thankful it's a fight. And the fight is all by faith. Just believing God's word. But I love this. Not just any horse, but this is a horse of full glory. And praise be to God, as we know the coming of the Lord is so nigh. That wonderful horse is on her final turn. And the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus is right before her in her sight. Now we know that as any race at that final stretch, there's a pressing. There's breathing like none other in the stretch. There becomes even a weight, if you will, that can feel like quite a load. But yet for us who know this, the bridegroom is in sight. And it doesn't matter how hard that thorn is pressed into us, brothers and sisters. I thank God that the song of glory only sings sweeter. Oh, yes, it does. Because those that turn to the Word of God and truly draw nigh to Him and allow that Comforter to comfort, oh my, what a song of glory can come forth out of these vessels. But here it is. You think about this portion of Scripture. It's all about His call to us, to win Him. Amen. It's all about His call to us to lay everything aside. And that means everything. It's all about His call for us to know Him. It's all about His call to us to be completely focused and readied for one thing. For one thing. That our life is about the one thing. And that is to be ready for the appearing of the Lord in the air. Now, once again, if you want the Word of God, then I'll tell you what, I talk to a lot of people throughout every week. Oh, I want the Word of God. I want to hear the Word of God. I want to really know the Word of God. Well, do you really want to know the Word of God? Well, I'm going to ask you, what does the Word of God say here? If this is the chosen vessel unto God, who happened to be the Apostle Paul, the chiefest sinner, who is the one that was given this mystery, that was hidden from the sons of men and from the prophets, but yet now is made manifest to us, and once again he chose the lowest of the low, the one that was going out to kill Christians, that's my guy to deliver this high calling message, because it couldn't be anything but grace. He was the guy that should have been hit with the lightning bolt, taken out, destroyed, and all of that. But yet this is the perfect one that's going to magnify that this is all by grace. Do you see how simple this is? It really is. He chose the worst to bring the best. He chose the most despicable to lift to the highest height of glorified together with the Lord. And all He wants us to do is to step into that same place. All He wants us to do is to have that same crown. Because praise be to God, you know through the word of the Lord, you have that same calling. You can sit here today and you can deny it, but you can't. Because the Lord says, I would that all men, and that's all mankind, be saved and come to the full knowledge of what this message is about. So once again, by the grace of God, are we serious in this journey, in this calling, in this time that we live that is so chaotic? It's so disgusting. It's so messed up. But yet the Word of God is so perfect. He is so graceful to us. Because there is nothing to turn to in this life. He is showing us with such brilliance that man is so evil. Reprobate. They can't come to the obvious, which is right before them, because they don't want it. And praise be to God, as Paul is telling us, hallelujah, this isn't us. This isn't who we are. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Brother Paul says, I count it all but dung. All of it is worthless. And he's just given his pedigree. He's just given his heritage. He's given us all of his accolades, achievements. Everything of the core of who he has been defined by himself and by society and by how he looked. And he says it's all dung. That isn't anything that defines me. If I want this. It is so beyond crystal clear. It's clear to the light. And we have that light. And I'm talking sun glory light. Is there anything worthy to be compared? And here we sit, oh, at the moment of this voice that's going to call her home. God help us to not be distracted with the filth of this life. That's what he's saying. Anything. And this isn't just about the old man. This is even about anything of this life. Anything of this life. Anything of this life. If that's what you're setting your definition of who you are in, you have missed it. You've missed the mark. Anything. It's all done. If we are, by the grace of God, saints that believe that we have this calling and are drawn by grace to say, by the grace of God, I am following Paul as he followed Christ. Let me tell you something. It's a narrow way. It ain't your pick and choose. It isn't, well, I feel like I'm going to be this. And I'll still know that. It doesn't work that way. Amen. All right. Now, brothers and sisters, the final instruction here, as he gives us in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And he just took about the last 10, 15 verses of this chapter. And he told you about what those things were. But he tells us one more time. You got to forget it. You got to forget it. And I'll tell you, this world's chatter right now is trying to get everybody to remember it. Amen. That's why you've got calendars to remember, and you've got phones to remember, and you've got news that's going to have you remember. Do you know who you are in Christ? Oh my. Do we know who we are? Do we know our calling and how he chose us? Just as precise and definite as you'd see a Gideon that was called, or a David, or a Tamar, or a Rahab, or a Ruth, Zipporah, those ones that no one ever knew, no one ever saw. Matter of fact, they completely forgot about. But the Lord in ages past had you in Christ, in His sight, for this, for this. He didn't set you, and He could have. He could have set you as one of those Israelites that was delivered out of Egypt. He could have set you as even one of those mighty prophets. Wouldn't that have been wonderful? But I'll tell you what, I got a better thing. You got a better thing. The Word of God tells you, you have got a better thing without us. The ones that have this message, they cannot be made perfect. They can't be made complete. It's the Word of the Lord. Study out Hebrews. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. By faith is quite a concept, isn't it? Matter of fact, it's quite a spectacular treasure to those who will listen to not to those that will preach, I haven't withheld a thing. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. With all of that, yet there's still this burden that God, and He'll sweetly allow you to share a burden with Him. I know where to cast our burdens on Him. But He loves us to get in the yoke with Him too. And I've had a burden. I am seeing a thing, if you will. Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm seeing a thing behind that's defeating so many and so many of us. The root of bitterness. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. This is speaking to us. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness. Let all bitterness. Let all bitterness. And wrath. And anger. And clamor. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I tell you, there's so much in there, and I just love that. As God for Christ's sake. Watching what His sweet Son was made for us, that sin. How could God not be fully ravished in that blood? Oh, how I have forgiven, Son. Because of you. And that forgiveness has been given to us. And for one another. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. I plead with every one of us here today, and I'm in there too, because this is the Spirit of the Lord. If there be any root of bitterness, and especially if there be a root of bitterness toward a brother or a sister, let God take it away today. Let Him take it away today. I have seen people thinking that their sincerity is what's right. Oh yeah, well let me tell you something about your sincerity. Most of the time, it's completely wrong. Your sincerity usually is completely wrong. I know a few that are standing in such immense sincerity that are watching all the joy just pass them right by. Islands. Islands of sincerity. Islands of, I know I'm right. islands of, well, I just heard this wind of doctrine and we're just going to go sit over here and it sounds so good to my flesh because I feel like that. Or maybe it's because I look like that. So you'll never find anything in the Word of God that says anything about the way that I look, I believe. It is all by faith. Things that we don't see with our eyes. There's a cut. There's a cut going on. A cut. I don't want my life to wind up like David's wife, Michal. She was void of fruit. She was robbed of joy. And she let herself be robbed. And you think about that. She had it all. She had the love of the king. He loved her. David loved her. And she was married to the king. But she got in her head that she had to have it her way, which robbed her when all the time she had it all. Don't let that be your life. Don't let that be my life. My brothers and sisters, we got it all. We have it all. Why settle for something less? I know that my flesh or my mind will only settle on things that are so far below what God has given, what God wants me to have. But yet, what am I hearing? What's feeding my ears? Is it the word of the Lord? Which I would believe that's why we're here today, to hear the word of the Lord. Or do we go right back after we hear the word of the Lord and we get in these environments of men and winds of doctrine that can be any and everything there could be? Because that's what I want to feed my flesh. And that's exactly, I can see it. I can see that for Michal, David's wife. She so mightily was encouraged in things of God being around that vessel of the Lord, her husband. But yet she'd drift off into society and different groups. Oh, that's idiot stuff, they believe. He's being a fool in what he's doing. Look at that. He's not like us. He's just shepherd. He smells like them sheep. Even though he's got king clothes, he's just sheep. Don't get away from the Word of God. Don't get away from the Word of God. Let me tell you something. You go off into the week, and you know this, and you start getting around people that truly, and they can be God's precious people, and a lot of them are, but their speak isn't God's Word. Their speak can even be antichrist. Get away from it. I don't care how close they are. I don't care if they're in your home. Don't entertain that. That's entertaining even the devil's language. I want to lift up my hands to the Lord. And by the grace of God, I want to lift up your hands to the Lord. And we are graced beyond. And you know what? He's taught your hands to war. And not in fist fighting, but in praise and thanksgiving. And I'm so thankful I witnessed that in my home with my mother. So many mighty times, but a couple I can see even her right now. Running through our home with her hands in the air. Speaking in another language. The enemy thinking he had a foothold and bam, it was out of our home.
Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now.
Thank you.
Don't let your life end up like a Michael. You have the king's hand. You have the message of married to the king. And let's talk about that sweet David. Many things made him exceptional, but one thing that made him so exceptional was the Lord's grace in his life. David was graced because he forgot those things which were behind. Oh yes. David had a grace because he took the forgiveness of God in his life. No matter how much wrong he did, you know you have to forgive yourself. You have to. The enemy wants to get you in a place where you don't forgive yourself. I've seen people that could forgive everybody else, but they can't forgive themselves. Let me tell you something. News for you. You've been forgiven. So why would you entertain a lie? Amen. Now, so no matter how much wrong he did or how wrong others did to him, and I have to think of Saul and how wrong he was toward David. But David, even with King Saul, all he ever wanted was that fellowship restored. He just wanted that brother's fellowship. It truly killed him in heart in a way that Saul would hate him and hate him and hate him. David was always reaching for more grace. And you think about how many were bitter around David. Bitter ones. Desiring a different king to be over them. Not liking David's ways. Not liking David's choices. Familiar ones that saw the mighty hand of God in David's life. That could not, you could not reject or deny the manifold grace of God that was rolled out in David's life. But yet, there was Joab. Always expressing every grief to David. Every grief. Always there to fix everything. David, you're wrong. And oh, the bitterness that destroyed Joab. What could have been? Do you ever look at lives in the Word of God and wonder, oh my Lord, what could have been with one different reaction? And the reaction that needed to happen was grace. Just grace. But bitterness didn't reside in David's heart. It really didn't. Those he loved that were so bitter, it made him sad. It made him sad. Joab, Absalom, his own son, Saul. He preached the word of God to them. In kindness and in love. And not only in his words, but even in his actions. But they didn't receive, did they? No, the way their lives went, we know they ended up in bitterness. Bitterness has one end, and that's destruction. It's a robbing. You eventually will drift completely away from the coals. You won't want to gather. You won't want to hear the word. In the fullness of the gospel of Christ, you'll do everything to fill your ears with things that will take you away from the things of God. That's bitterness. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. Bitterness didn't reside in David's heart. It just didn't. And I'll tell you how it happened. He was a man after God's own heart. You know how to be a man after God's own heart? You got to realize your heart ain't going to get it done. You got to realize you need a new heart. You got to realize you're no good. You have to realize that he's spectacular. And that heart that he'll give you, it'll be a heart that completely loves your brother. Will. Oh, you may not always agree on stuff. You might fuss. You might get a little stepping on a toe, or maybe that brother you didn't think showered today and he kind of stinks, but you still love him. And you love him purely, and you love him perfectly. And you love them always. And you never withhold a thing against them. Don't withhold a thing. See, if I'm a hypocrite in my love, then I'm not loving you perfectly. If I love somebody because they agree with me, because of the way that I want to live or the way I want to think in this life, right there, I know that I ain't thinking right. Because once again, where are we seated, folks? Where is a Christian's life seated today? Where is your citizenship today? I know what I look like right now. But who am I going to be like? Who are we all going to be like? And the Bible even goes on to say, it doesn't yet appear. So that means it's really already done. Difference is how much you're going to grow up in it. Amen? Oh yeah, you're going to be like him. But will you be like him in the fullness, the stature, the measure of Christ? You know that? And that's what this word's doing today to them that will receive it. It's growing you up. So you don't grow up over there. Nope. It's done. Everything's done here. How much you're going to receive over there is what you're going to get here. And I'm so thankful God graced me. He put me in a little group of sheep. You guys are piggy sheep. You want it all. Hey, let me tell you something. I was in a gold mine, and I had an infinite truck to get it out. I want an infinite supply. I'm no dummy. Are you? You're not dummy either, are you, sister? You know he showed you the mother lode, didn't he? Yes, he did, honey. I thank God for you. Now, brothers and sisters, here it is. Not withholding a thing against a brother. But here we are. We're willing to sacrifice it all. We're willing to sacrifice the very riches of glory in Christ Jesus for eternity, because we're not going to let go of something in the past. And Paul listed it all. We didn't have time to go through it, but anything and everything you can think about your life, Paul listed it. And he says, it's all done. And if you don't let that go, you're not going to have the crown that I have. But yet, once again, we won't let go of our perception. We won't let go of our sincerity. We won't let go of our group. Because it's just too beautiful in my eyes compared with the exceeding riches of his grace in the eternities to come. Do you see how the devil just wants to make you stupid? He wants to make you a fool. He wants you to lead you around with dung. Because that's what you're carrying around. If you're carrying anything of this life. Paul listed it. He listed everything about him. His heritage. His degrees. His religious ways. His goodness. His pedigree. And then even after the calling of the Lord upon his life, if anything that he was grace to do for Christ's sake, even if that became his reward, he missed it. And he meant that of being even a pastor or that apostle. It wasn't the position. It's who he was in Christ. Now I'm going to tell you something. He's laying it out today. And I love what the Lord's been doing. He's been laying it down. I mean, boom! And I'll tell you what, we've seen these ones. Because we have been graced that have gone through hurt and failure and have been just had evil given to their lives, but they harbored no bitterness. And I thank the Lord I'm amongst them today. And some I've said farewell. Brother McLam, Brother Hill, Sister McGuire. And on and on and on. And I'll tell you what. I mark them. I want that love. I want that love. I want that faith. And only that love and only that faith. The love that lets God. The love that lets God increase. The love that causes me to decrease. See, when you're really in love, you decrease. Don't you? Don't you decrease when you're really in love? Don't you want your lover just to have his way with you? So if you're still blaming, if you're still blaming your life on someone else, if you're feeling like someone, oh my goodness, they just stepped all over with big, big metal shoes on my toes. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're really anywhere with the Lord, you know what you'd do? You'd thank him. Oh, yes. I'm going to say this. Quit serving the body of Christ with eye service. Stop that. I mean that. If the Lord has to have you to just stop serving, stop it. I don't want it out of your goodness. I don't want it out of my goodness. Let me tell you something. Mary, her name meant rebellion. My wife said, you're kind of getting rebellious. Let me tell you something. I want to be violent for his sake. I want to be debased in man's sight. Huh? What do you want? Now, let's let the heart of God just love one another. That's what God called us into here. And I have to tell you, brethren, I thank God for each and every one of you. And I thank God for the brethren that love me like that. Not for who I am or what I've done. But I thank God, the ones that love me for Christ in me. That's all I want you to love me for. It's all I want to love you for. I mean that. I'm so thankful for whatever the after effects of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and yielding to the Lord. It's marvelous. And I thank the Lord for every bit of it. But I'm telling you right now, I love you for Christ in you. You don't have to do nothing for me. You don't need to be any certain way. I'm thankful for the blood in your life. I'm grateful for the blood that you love in your life. So let's quit sizing each other up. Let's quit thinking that we know what is in the heart of somebody else. Stop that. Just love and pray. Amen. Just love and pray. And let God do the work. And I'll tell you what, I'm seeing him do a work in here. And you know what it is for those that are entering in? It's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. The transformation of the sons of God is going on before us. Rejoice! And again I say rejoice. The manifestation of the sons of God is coming forth. And it may begin today. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. I'm calling those things which be not as though they were. I'm seeing those, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for those vessels. I'm seeing them begin to rise up and walk and to thank Him and to become these glowing vessels, the gorgeous vessels of mercy and grace. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and just grateful to your word. And Lord, how it cleanses us. And Lord, thank you again, just this washing of our feet and the anointing that comes forth by your Spirit. And it's dripping. And Lord, let us just continue to grow in that joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to be that vessel to you. Joy unspeakable and full of glory for you. Lord, help us to continue to fight that good fight of faith. That, Lord, that we do. We begin the day and throughout the day, we bend that knee and pray. Call out to you. And Lord, that you draw us away when we're beginning to hear those things that are lies and confusion. Lord, the things that we know are of the enemy, let us withdraw ourselves quickly. Get away from it. Flee the very appearance of evil. Not to entertain those things any longer. Lord, help us to make that stand. And a stand in love. But I'll tell you what, a stand that is necessary if we're going to be one of them Philadelphia pillars in the house of the Lord. Thank you again for this day. And let it just be a rejoicing. And may this be the day you come. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.